This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to The Drive.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com. We'll talk to James Palmer here coming up a little bit. As you know, David Culley, the head coach of the Houston Texans, was just fired. From Ian Rappaport of NFL Network, among the reasons Texans coach David Culley was fired, he would not make changes to his offensive staff. Houston had the 32nd ranked offense. Culley wanted to stay the course. Now he's gone. The offensive coordinator is gone. More changes are coming. The Texans are just... It is always something with the Houston Texans. We'll talk to our next guest, James Palmer of NFL Network, about the coaching carousel and this weekend's wild card matchups. Very happy to be joined by one of the best reporters in the game, James Palmer of NFL Network. James, how's it going, my man?
Going well, man. I'm just having like all these flashbacks about you talking about the Texans and my time down there, and it's just like we're going over it again, man. Here we go. Down in Houston.
We absolutely are going through it again. Let's just start with the coaching carousel since that's the breaking news. I know Bieniemy interviewed for them the last time. Do you think he gets another interview there? Do you think Bieniemy is a realistic candidate for the Houston Texans?
I think he's a realistic candidate. I do. I think he's a realistic candidate a couple places. It has been interesting the way things have fallen for EB the last couple of seasons. You could start to think, is this going to happen? I think it still should, but we'll see, you know, if anybody at the general manager position believes that's the case. I think it's a really interesting one down in Houston. I heard you read what Ian tweeted out. That's exactly the same thing I heard. And it's kind of interesting because Nick Cassaro, their general manager, was on the headset throughout the season. He was part of play calling. He was part of their game plan. He was a part of, you know, David Culley's coaching staff. That's not a very common thing in the NFL with general managers. So it'll be interesting to see if that's something that Nick Cassaro does moving forward with whoever he selects. There's definitely people with ties to the Patriots like him that are available and could be, you know, in play down there. But one aspect I will say about this, nobody was complaining about Tim Kelly a season ago when he had Deshaun Watson playing better maybe than anybody in all of football as their offensive coordinator. Things turned pretty quickly. I still have heard a lot of really great things about Tim Kelly. I would think if Bill O'Brien got a head coaching job somewhere, perhaps maybe Jacksonville, he's definitely in play there, not just interviewing, but definitely in play as a possibility. I could see Tim reuniting with him because he has done wonders for Deshaun Watson, and I'll honestly, everything I heard he did for Davis Mills, this was a situation down in Houston that wasn't set up to succeed by any means from the jump. So it's just interesting they waited this number of days to make the call. I had heard in the beginning of the week it would be Thursday or Friday. It's kind of interesting because maybe they were waiting to see if who they wanted became available or who they want is going to be able to come and take the job. Sometimes that's when the team waits. So that's the interesting play down in Houston.
James, I don't really get the sense, and you're obviously a lot closer to it than I am, that there's still really a buzz around Bieniemy that maybe there was last offseason or the season before. He got 7 coaching interviews last year. He seemed like a pretty prominent candidate and was at the forefront of a lot of teams' mind. He didn't interview with Jacksonville. We'll see some of these other jobs. I look at these three for Bieniemy making the most sense, the Giants, the Broncos, or Vikings. How about those individual spots, and do you see Bieniemy maybe grabbing one of those jobs or getting any job this coaching cycle?
Well, we could start with Denver where I'm standing, and I think the number one thing George Payton is looking for is leadership. Hands down leadership. Number two is what the offensive plan. Doesn't have to be an offensive coach, but what the offensive plan is for one of these coaches coming in. To make an example of that, Dan Quinn is definitely a really high-up candidate on their list, and he's a defensive coach, and we look at what he's had maybe in Atlanta, right, when he was the head coach, and that's a top 10 offense each and every one of those years. So again, it doesn't have to be an offensive coach, but EB would fit what they're looking for in terms of leadership and changing the culture of a building. That's really what they want. Their issues in Denver are far beyond just what was going on with Vic Fangio from a coaching perspective. They believe there are organizational issues, and there's also going to be organizational changes. They'll have new ownership by the time we kick the football off next year, and also John Elway, unless his ownership group wins out, will not be part of the organization either. There's major changes happening in Denver above the head coaching spot, and that's why leadership's such a big part of it, and I think that's why EB falls into that. And I think you could see that that would be a similarity in Minnesota as well as New York, considering everything that went on with 12-minute press conferences and quarterback sneaks and just a lot of head-scratching going on. Those are spots where you feel like you need to right the ship in terms of what the fan base, you don't ever want to weigh the fan base into your, you know, coaching decision. But those are spots to where, you know, you make the right hire and the fan base starts to understand that there's at least a competent situation going on in terms of leadership. And I think that's where EB comes to you in spades. And I think you're right. It has been different for him over the, I think this year has a different vibe than even last year for him. And it's going to be interesting to see if he continues to get this opportunity to interview, or does it eventually cycle out and enough teams have interviewed him? Because sadly, it's a lot of the same teams, right, that are looking for head coaches year and, you know, after every couple of years. Does he start to phase his way out of the head coaching spot and he misses that window, or a team doesn't seem to see him as the right fit? We'll see how this cycle plays out, but you're right, it has a bit of a different feel than it did the last couple of seasons.
Last question, at least related to the coaching carousel. Why isn't Spags maybe more of a coaching candidate? When I think about what this defense has done the last couple of years, you think about how this team started off this season, they were 27th in points allowed at week 8 and then finished with 8th. I know he was a head coach before. He's a little bit older than Eric Bieniemy, but I'm surprised that no one has at least reached out to Spags to interview.
You know, Kenny, I think the biggest thing with Spags, and I think the world of him, and I think what he's done each and one of, every one of these years, you're exactly right. I think his patience enable to handle the defense and never panic as the season goes on, and knows that just playing your best football by the end of the season is the most important part. My guess, honestly, somewhat educated, is sex sells, man. And it's not a sexy hire. Spags is not a sexy hire in terms of what some of these teams are looking for. Now, the funny part is, you know, I was on a Twitter space conversation thing with Ian Rappaport and Kay Adams the other night, and the three of us were talking about how that's maybe not always the right approach. Teams don't always go about things, you know, the right way. The funny part is we were kind of talking about special teams coordinators, and Dave Tobe's name actually came up. And there's, you know, Ian and I were saying the same thing that you could say Spags is in. If it's not, you know, the super sexy hire, the Sean McVay kind of switched the landscape on all of this. And that's why, you know, we saw right after that, right? And listen, they've succeeded in Matt LaFleur and Zach Taylor. And that's why everybody's looking at Nathaniel Hackett and, you know, those type of names. It's just a different vibe that some teams are looking for because they've seen it be successful. The funny part is Sean McVay hasn't won a Super Bowl yet. He's a great coach. He's a fantastic coach. But people just tend to look at these things in cycles because of what they saw maybe be somewhat successful somewhere else. I could say that's kind of playing into, you know, against Spags getting a look at.
Right now we're talking to James Palmer of NFL Network, going over the coaching carousel right now in the National Football League and taking a look ahead to the wild card matchups this weekend. Let's transition from talking about the off-the-field stuff to the on-the-field stuff. Kansas City plays Pittsburgh this Sunday night. James, create the scenario in which Pittsburgh wins this game, because obviously they are a major underdog in Vegas. I'm thinking the only chance they can win this is a 17-13, just perfect shutout game defensively. But on the other hand, I'm thinking, well, nobody beats Kansas City this way. Like, teams don't do this to the Chiefs. Not saying the Chiefs will go out there and hang 40 on them, but typically you got to score 24 points or more to be able to get to beat Kansas City. And I just have serious questions whether or not Pittsburgh can do that.
No, I totally do, too. I mean, if you look at the way Ben Roethlisberger has played throughout this season, for much of this season, there's been spots where we've seen a little bit of the old Ben, right? Maybe that gives them a chance if it's that old Ben. I was always told this by my dad working in baseball, and old veteran pitchers kind of talking to them, and it was always, you know, I can still make some of the pitches that I used to make when I was younger. I just can't make them as often. that's kind of Ben Roethlisberger right now in his career. There's still the ability there to go out and have that Ben Roethlisberger, you know, future Hall of Famer type game where he goes and, you know, plays really, really well. The chances of that, as we've seen this season, just have diminished because of his age, his injuries. I mean, it's remarkable he's still going out there and playing with how his body is. I think the way it would shape up for Pittsburgh is, I don't want to even put it out there, but, like, if something happens to Tyreek Hill pregame, the same thing that happened with the heel, you know, that gets re-aggravated in some sense, and you don't have him at 100%, and that limits your offense. I think we saw that change the way the Chiefs' offense was against the Broncos, definitely, and that changes the way you can use Travis Kelce. I think that could be something that plays into it. I'm putting in the perfect storm, right? And then, like, early on, there's like a TJ Watt, you know, sacks Patrick Mahomes and, you know, forces a fumble and it's scooped up and they score early quick. It has to be the way we're looking at this right now. A number of things fall the Steelers' way for them to come out on top in this game, to where there's a couple of those fluke plays, and Ben plays the way that we've seen him only play maybe three times this year, which is kind of the old Ben. And I think that's why he's kind of had that mentality when I was on that press conference with him earlier this week.
No, you're right about the perfect scenario and the perfect storm, because we were kind of having some fun with it earlier. Is I'm getting accused of just being too confident and cocky when it comes to this game, but I just am a firm believer of styles make fights, and we've watched this team with Patrick Mahomes enough to know the teams that give them problems and the teams that don't give them problems. And number one for me is, can you score 24 points? And I'm thinking to myself, all right, let's eliminate special teams, touchdowns, pick sixes, and those kind of things. What's the highest number of points that I think Pittsburgh's offense can score? And the number's probably 17, and that's just not enough to win this game. And a lot of my feelings is based on Ben Roethlisberger. I think he is one of the bottom five quarterbacks in the National Football League. And mm-hmm. I'm just looking at the quarterbacks who have beat this Chiefs team with Patrick Mahomes here, and it's the best of the best. It's the better quarterbacks in the league, and Ben Roethlisberger just doesn't fit that criteria anymore.
No, he really doesn't. I mean, I go back, and I mean, they won the Super Bowl. It's a far cry from Big Ben, but remember Peyton Manning last year. I mean, Peyton Manning threw 9 touchdowns and 18 interceptions in his final season. I mean, Peyton could barely throw, and he's the first to probably admit that. He was not a good quarterback at all that final season. Now, what Ben can do and Peyton could do during that final season is, at the line of scrimmage, even though physically they can't do what they used to do, the line of scrimmage, he still sees things just as good as he did in the past, right? He can still check into the, you know, the right run plays or whatever, like what we saw Peyton in that 2015 deal. But at the same time, Najee Harris is banged up. The big evaluation for him, is, to my understanding, is going to be tomorrow. He hasn't really practiced because of the elbow. He's essentially really their offense. I mean, he's second in the NFL in scrimmage yards. He carries the football brilliantly, and I think that's one big part of keeping Patrick Mahomes off the field, that you could maybe have a chance. So, I mean, even he's banged up. So all this is kind of playing into, you're right, a situation where I don't really see it happening. Unless you see just some monster play from, you know, a mistake or a ball that bounces the way they were bouncing in the beginning of the season for the Chiefs, you know, off shoulder pads or something like that, and it lands in Joe Hayden's hands and he returns it for a touchdown. I mean, it has to be more than one, I think, of those kind of fluke plays. But Ben Roethlisberger still sees things very well. He still gets himself into the right play. I just think he's just not the same player that he's been, and it's been almost a detriment to them in some sense.
James, two more questions here. I appreciate your time. First, injury report for Kansas City. Tyreek Hill had the heel injury in their last game. Darrell Williams a little bit banged up. Clyde Edwards-Helaire missed the last couple of games. He didn't practice today. What are you hearing from an injury front in Kansas City?
Well, Andy was smart to give them the day off, the time off from Saturday until Wednesday, and I think that helped Tyreek Hill a lot. But I will be honest, it's a very interesting injury, because it was one thing where it was like, and I talked to Mecole Hardman on the field about this afterwards, where it was like, was this a precaution? And he was like, oh, yeah, it's a precaution. Like, we had it locked up, so we didn't really play him. But he kept coming onto the game, like, you know, third down in the red zone. And you're like, okay, well, it can't be that bad if he keeps re-entering the game. But then he walks off the field across from me, and he's putting, like, no weight on that right heel at all. Like, he's having a hard time. And so that's the interesting part of it. And it seems like something that he's had before, from my understanding. So it's kind of like, could it flare up again? I think that monitoring him and having an extra day really helps. I think he's in a good spot. Practicing in full yesterday and practicing today helps him. I think I would go like in this order. Then Darrell Williams is below him a little bit with the big toe, which sneakily, and I've reported this on NFL Network. I don't know in Kansas City if you guys are talking about it. You can tell me if you are or not. Really sneaky good performance this season by Darrell Williams in importance to this offense with 1,000 yards over scrimmage with Clyde Edwards-Helaire missing 7 games. So, I mean, he is kind of important. I'd say his chance of playing are a little below Tyreek's, and then I think you put Clyde Edwards-Helaire's below both of them with this shoulder because he practiced in a limited capacity yesterday, didn't practice today. So I think he's trending in the maybe opposite direction as Tyreek's in the better direction. But I'm nervous about Tyreek Hill because it's something that I watched happen right next to me and just flare up, and you're just nervous that happens again. But I know he's gotten a ton of treatment this week in terms of trying to keep that thing calmed down.
That is James Palmer of NFL Network joining us on the show today with the latest on the coaching carousel in the National Football League and getting you ready for Sunday Night Football as the Chiefs take on the Pittsburgh Steelers. James, it's always good talking to you, man. Thanks for hopping on today.
No problem. Excited to be in town on Friday, guys. I'll be there all weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.